back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemé. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
The Texans took down the Colts 29-27 Sunday in Indianapolis. Back from Indianapolis and with us in studio right now, as you just heard from Mr. Voice Guy himself, DJ Bienemé, ESPN.
Voice God.
The late James Earl Jones passed away last night.
Oh, you're right. You know, I don't keep up with movies, so.
You don't keep up with movies, but you have to know who James Earl Jones is. Oh, my God. And that wraps up DJ Bienemé's appearance this week.
RIP, though.
You don't know.
I'm shocked. But listen, this is where the generation.
You don't know who Darth Vader is?
That's who that was?
Yeah. Or Mufasa?
I know who Mufasa is, but I never watched Star Wars.
Okay. That's fine.
You're saying it like a flex.
Generational divide.
I never watched. You know, we got like, what, 2 decades in between, you know? You two? You know what I'm saying?
What are you, 18?
No, he's trying to say that I'm in my 40s, if not 50s.
Oh, okay.
Well, and I mean, to that I say, F you. But welcome back. You're back in Indianapolis.
I am back. I only spent like 24 hours there.
Good, because it is a godforsaken city.
It is.
See? Someone knows. It is. He knows. He goes there a lot. He goes there more than I ever will.
I go there twice a year, and I regret it both times.
Texas came back with a victory.
Yep.
What's your biggest takeaway?
I think that, you know, Joe Mixon, start there with Joe Mixon, ran for a buck. 59. He told the O-linemen early in the week, let's get 150, and they got 159. So I think that really kept the offense on track because, like, the passing attack was a little spotty at times, mainly because it looked like, you know, Gus Bradley was able to throw some disguises at CJ that had him kind of hitching a little bit. And then some of the stunts and I won't say blitzes, but, you know, a couple of blitzes that were able to get to CJ because he was pressured almost 40% of his dropbacks.
Sacked four times.
So that was able, but it wasn't necessarily outside of like the DeForest Buckner one. That was the main one where like it wasn't, you know, coverage to sack. It was just DeForest Buckner was able to get there because of the stunt. It looked like on the back end, they were able to throw some disguises that caused CJ to hold the ball a little bit longer than he would like to. And then they were able to get to him or pressure him. But I think having Joe Mixon be able to run with him, because it didn't matter what the box was, whether it was light box, heavy box, neutral box, he ran pretty well against all of it. I believe he had like 34 against a neutral, 37 against a stacked on 8 carries, and I think 88 on 15 carries against a light box. So he was able to take care of all of that. So overall, that's my biggest takeaway offensively, because when you have that balance, if the passing attack isn't, you know, clicking as the way you need it to, because that's going to happen at times. You got to be able to rely on the run game to be able to bail you out a little bit. And them having that showed me that them being a balanced team, being a balanced offense is going to allow them to be the best version of themselves.
How much of this with Mixon? Because obviously you guys didn't see a lot of them in camp.
No.
Like he really was only one practice. The one against the Rams was the only time where, like, the feedback was that, like, hey, this looks like something sustainable. So now that you've seen it in action, like, is this – you think they can be a run-first team whenever they want? Like, was it that impressive that, like, you're like, hey, like, I'm in?
Yeah, I think they could be a team that if we need to run the ball, they can run the ball with effectiveness. Because I don't think they're going to come across many teams that are going to, you know, just stack the box. They can't. You got Stephon Diggs, Nico, and Tank Dell out there. So I don't foresee that being a thing. So they'll be able to, if they need to, you know, get into 11 out of shotgun and be able to hand the ball off and get, you know, be effective. I'm really interested in what the Bears do, because the Bears might be one of those teams that might try to go single high to stop the run and live with their corners on the outside. They got some really good DBs over there, you know, led by Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson is phenomenal. Number one, their cornerback. He's the real deal. So I'm interested to see how that kind of plays out. But I think if they have to be a run-first team, they can be.
DJ Bienemé with us in studio. Why did the Bengals let him go if that's what he was? I mean, I think it was very fair, just given that we didn't see him in real action during training camp. He was banged up much of it. to see if he was going to be the guy that he once was. They gave him a contract extension before he even played a snap. And I remember before the Texans made the trade with the Bengals were looking to cut him supposedly.
Right. I would say that the Bengals are a cheap organization.
That's definitely true.
They still haven't paid Jamar Chase or T. Higgins, you know. So clearly, you know, they were trying to save a buck. And they were able to get a seventh-round pick. But, you know, that seventh-round pick turned into a 159, you know, yard back in week one. So I think that them letting him go was their loss in the Texans' reward.
Took advantage of a dumb organization.
It's not the only reward the Texans got from someone moving on from a player. Stephon Diggs, 2 touchdowns.
Right, right.
His debut. I mean, you've got Mixon, a $1.59 touchdown. Stephon Diggs, 6 catches, 2 touchdowns in week one. You couldn't ask for more from these new guys.
Yeah, and I think both of Stephon Diggs' touchdowns came on third or fourth down, which is our money downs, and a fourth down. Because it's funny, like, now that we can think about it, if they don't score that touchdown at the end, right, there's a chance that the Colts go down and they score, because the very next drive, they actually did go down and score. So, you know, them going to Diggs, because he said, you know, money on the floor, trust one, that it looks like that's what Bobby's going to do this year, right? In the biggest moments, try to lean on Diggs, lean on Nico, and him being able to make plays in the first game, I think that was the first multi-touchdown game since week four against the Dolphins in 2023. He went up for like 3 touchdowns, and that was his first touchdown since week 11 against the Eagles. So him being able to get into the end zone, I know that felt good for the offense, felt good for him, and just felt good for the chemistry that they're building.
In the red zone, it's clear he's the number one guy that Stroud's looking at. I hate the just term wide receiver one. Drives me crazy. I hate it. I hate it, hate it, hate it. Mm-hmm. But if there's a wide receiver that C.J. Stroud trusts most, I'll say it like that, did feel like Nico Collins was the guy for week one. And, man, there were some impressive moments in that one, whether it was, once again, Nico Collins running by the whole Colts defense. Stroud underthrows it. 57-yard catch downfield. It's the throw that Stroud made rolling to his right, 3rd and 14, across his body over the middle of the field to Collins. Mm-hmm. And then, man, that last throw, 3rd and 11, Nico gets a knee down. I don't know how Stroud fitted in that window, but Collins was great, and Collins is a Colts killer. He has 22 catches for 458 yards in his last 3 games against the Colts.
Yeah, that was a throw of the day. I mean, I think that was a throw of the week, honestly.
It was so good. I don't know how he fit it.
It's crazy how, like, people, you know, they aren't talking about it as much. It's like, you know, people are, like, drooling over the Trevor Lawrence throw. And I was like, you know, it was a good throw. Like, that was a great throw, but, like, that throw in that situation in that moment was way, way, way better than a throw to Trevor. You know, when it comes to Trevor, like, people just lose their mind. Like, Trevor could just pass gas, and they're going to be, oh, my God. Look, do you smell this elegant perfume? This is, like, the best pass gas. This best fart smell that I've ever smelled in my life. Trevor can do it. All Trevor got to do is just make one throw that is. And it was a good throw. But people were like, oh, my God, gushing over it. I'm like, yo, like, come on, like. They scored like 3 points in. They scored like 0 points in the second
half. Yeah, and
you know what I'm saying? Like they go so crazy about Trevor, and people gave some love to Stroud's throw, but like that should have got more love because like the tightest of windows, he fitted into Nico Collins according to NFL stats was 2 yards from the sideline. He fitted in on 3rd and 11 where it was as tight of coverage as it got, and that basically iced the game. You know what I'm saying? So that throw was for the win. Well, Trevor's throw was just a nice highlight throw. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, when Trevor does anything, people gas it.
At least outside of Houston.
Yeah, because people in Houston, we're not. There's a lot of people who don't love Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, Joe, earlier today, you said.
Yeah, we were talking about lapping, like, the quarterbacks.
I feel like Stroud slapped the entire rookie class.
Yeah, and I kind of.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, and the class before. Or at one of the Trevor Lawrence class. I think he's lapped all of them.
I don't think he's lapped Trevor, but I think that he's pretty, I mean. He's better than Trevor. I don't think he's lapped Trevor. I think he's obviously, you know, 2 miles, 3 miles
Since you're a track guy, it's like the women's 4x4 in the Olympics. Yeah, the Team USA, that giant lead.
Nah,
a little reference there for you.
Nah, it's more like if you run like the 10K, he's probably like 10 laps ahead of Bryce.
Okay.
If you're doing like the 10K, he's probably like, you know, like a couple laps ahead of Richardson. Because, you know, while Richardson has some nice plays, right, like, 171 of his, you know, yards came on like 3 plays. And they were like very similar concepts. And they were just attacking the safeties. And they were able to exploit that. So
what's going on there? I mean, that was an issue last year too.
Yeah.
And I'm not someone who knows what was going on those plays. And some people are going to blame Jimmy Ward. Some people are going to blame Derek Stingley. Not his best day either. I don't know what the cause was on those plays. All I know is this was something we saw last year.
I think the corners actually played pretty well. I think that they were put in not the best positions play calling wise, but they held it down for the most part. I think that on the first touchdown, that's on Jimmy. You know, they're in quarters. You know, once it got vertical, Jimmy got to stay on top of that. He wasn't able to do that. On the third one, they went cover two. And, you know, I think Pierce was able to get behind Jimmy again. So I would say, you know, the safety room is a question mark. And I think that if they don't get that taken care of, teams is a copycat league. Like, everybody's going to try to attack their safeties because, like, again, like last year, you could attack their safeties and, you know.
To follow up on that, I mean, Bullock had a great interception. Now, mm-hmm. there was some slipping and sliding going on that terrible field.
Right.
Is more Bullock the answer here?
I mean, I would say, like, yeah. I would say, yeah. Like, play more Bullock. I just don't know if that's going to stop the explosives. Because he's a young player, so, like, he's going to have, like, brain farts. Like, that's going to happen. Like, I would suggest, if it continues, flipping Jimmy and Petrie and then putting Bullock in to replace Eric Murray. I would suggest that because Jimmy played nickel for the Niners before he got to Houston. And then, you know, just let Jalen go back deep at that point. Because while, you know, Jalen at times can be he's had moments, especially last year with the liability and coverage. I think that he's more athletic than Jimmy. So I think the play that Jimmy was able to score, I mean, not Jimmy, but Alex Pierce was able to score on, it doesn't happen if it's Petrie because Petrie has enough athleticism to stay on top of that. And it's very clear teams are, like, attacking Jimmy and, like, deep down the field. Like, that is their MO. Like, let's try to attack their safeties down the field and go from there. I think they'll be fine this week because, one, Alex Pierce is pretty fast, obviously. I don't – you know, DJ Moore has some speed, but, you know – He's not as fast as Alex Pierce. I'll say that. He's not as fast as Alex Pierce. So I don't know if they'll be able to get over the top like that. And Caleb, you know, just after rewatching some of the game between him and the Titans, he was playing like a tick slow. So if you're playing a tick slow, you don't have a rocket of an arm. The ball is going to kind of like float in the air and everybody be able to make a play on it where Anthony Richards is just able to outthrow everybody because, one, he has a howitzer of a cannon.
He does, yeah.
And Alex Pierce is fast. So those combinations kind of led to that.
What else did you take away from the defense in this game? Anything else stand out?
Yeah, I would say
run defense.
Yeah,
run defense pretty good because, you know, I'm more worried about stopping the actual running back. I mean, Anthony Richardson has some good scrambles, but
he's going to get his.
Yeah, he's going to get his. You know, a lot of his scramble wasn't like much of it was design runs. They were able to really stop the run. That stood out to me. I would say that, yeah. So I would say stopping the run. Obviously, you know, Anthony Richardson got his. But, I mean, outside of, like, those three big plays, like, the pass defense was kind of clamps because, like, they were kind of forcing Anthony Richardson to make throws, and he wasn't able to consistently make throws outside of the number, underneath, timing throws. He wasn't able to do any of that consistently, right? So, I mean, like, there's times where he was just missing bad, like, on a 4th-and-1 early in the game to A.D. Mitchell. He threw that thing. Could have gotten the stands, to be honest. So, yeah, I'm not like, you know, I'm kind of a Richardson pessimist. I think he could become good, but, like, I'm really big on – like, he reminded me of Josh Allen early. And Josh Allen's, like, the only quarterback that was, like, completely toolsy that became, like, a star quarterback. Like, he's the only one, like, in recent memory – like, we can go back, like, decades. Because there's been a bunch of guys that had all the physical tools that couldn't ever put it together. So, Josh is the only one. So, I'm kind of betting with history that I don't really foresee Richardson being able to put it all together. If he does, all right, you know, he'll be a rock star. But that's a hard bet based off of history.
He's DJ Bien-Aimé, Houston Texans beat reporter for ESPN. While we're on Richardson,
yeah,
this was my big take yesterday. And I think some people interpreted it as the Texans had a lucky win on Sunday. No, I think the Texans, though, were fortunate that they went up against a quarterback who is as inexperienced, as inaccurate as Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking 3, 4, 5 misses or so by Anthony Richardson over the course of the game. Multiple, specifically those that should have been hitting Adonai Mitchell,
right,
could have been touchdowns. I think if they played a better quarterback on Sunday, that they would have lost. And I think that given all the hype that they've had this offseason, we got to raise our expectations for what they do. A win is a win. It's great that they got a win on the road against a division rival, but that is not going to cut it against the teams that they are right now chasing and don't play until the end of the year.
Yeah, you know what? I hadn't thought about that, but that's a really good point. You know, I hate to say that he made a good point.
I know that hurt your soul.
Hurt my soul. Worst moment of the day.
I'm just going to walk out. I'm riding high on cloud nine right now.
But that's a great point because, like, you know, this year, you know, I attribute it to rust, you know, just first game jitters, things of that nature. But, again, this year they're going to play, you know, the Bills, the Cowboys, the Lions, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Dolphins. I don't know if I want to. If I'm ready to put the Jets in that.
Oh,
yet.
They stunk last night.
Yes.
We enjoyed that, didn't we?
I'm going to give them a few more weeks. But, you know, it looked like Aaron can't move. So that could be a problem for them. But I'll put them – I mean, I won't put them in there yet, but they could be in that group of just teams that they're going to play that have, like, stud quarterback that can utilize those weapons or whatever. So if they can't get that taken care of, it's going to hurt them badly as the season progresses because, again, like, and, if, you know, Jordan Love, if he's healthy by that time, like, you don't think Matt LaFleur is going to have ways to be able to attack their safeties and attack their defensive backs that, you know, again, like, it felt like they were playing a lot of catch techniques, sitting on stuff, and they were able to, like, counter that on the fly. So, I mean, they're going to have to clean some stuff up, but I'm going to trust that DeMeco and company will clean that stuff up.
Honestly, I forgot they played the Packers. They're probably going to miss Jordan Love. Well, nah, it's going to be close. They're saying 4 to 6 weeks. That's week seven.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they could end up playing him, maybe miss him.
Yeah. It might be Ryan Tannehill by that point.
Yeah, because if it's Malik.
I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I know. And the thing is, he just got there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You could tell.
I mean, his Hail Mary was worse than Davis Mills.
Yeah, because, well, no, Davis Mills almost fumbled his. I don't know. It's close. It's
I mean,
close
Malik time. Didn't even throw the ball.
That's true, too.
Very unfortunate.
That's true.
You know, so I mean, I'm gonna respect Trevor. Like, you know, even though I think he's probably like the most overrated quarterback in the way that we discuss quarterbacks, I think that, you know, I'm gonna still respect him, right? Like he's had big games against the Texans before. So with that receiving group, if they're not on their, you know, their crap, that could be bad. So they're gonna have to clean that up fast. You know,
it's one game against the Colts. Do you feel like there's a bigger divide between the Texans and the rest of the AFC South than you maybe did going into week one?
Nah, because it's week one. Like, you can't overreact to anything in week one. Because if that was the case, then the Chiefs, the Chiefs were going to miss the playoffs last year. They lost in week one. You know what I mean? The Texans started off 0-2 and they got to the division around.
The Patriots will go to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, exactly.
1-0.
Yeah, they are one
game at a time. One game at a time.
Yeah, whatever. So yeah, so for me, like, I kind of, it's really after week four. Week four is when you start to see, like, what teams really are. You know what I mean? That's why we've seen teams start 1-3 and make the playoffs. We've seen teams start 3-1 and miss the playoffs, right?
And Joe, you brought this up earlier this week.
Yeah, it's just you can't buy into it. What they had, the stat was out there yesterday that on Sunday, the quarterbacks average 185 passing yards during the noon window. Yeah. And I declared on yesterday's show that I'm team preseason.
Yeah, I mean,
I want preseason football back.
Only one guy threw for over 300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two guys, Matthew Stafford and
Tua Tagovailoa.
Yep.
Yeah. Stats are for losers. Final scores for winners.
I mean, Matt Stafford lost.
Yeah. There you go. So just something to keep in mind for those who don't know. DJ, Dolphins fan.
I'm not a Dolphins fan. I am a Texans reporter.
Texas reporter. Okay, yep. Got it. My bad. Yep. But listen, we can't help where we're from, you know?
You're not even from Boston.
I am, originally.
Whatever.
Sorry, my dad left my mom and I had to move to Florida with her. I can laugh about it now, but I mean, that's what happened.
That's crazy.
I just didn't think you'd ever say that in front of anyone, not me.
Well, everyone, I brought it up on the air. It's fine. Everyone knows. Everyone knows my family was ripped apart in my childhood, and it's fine, you know? Yeah. It's fine. I'm not actually from Boston. I'm an American, DJ.
You're an American?
American. I'm from everywhere.
That's all that matters.
I'm from everywhere. I'm from whatever suits me best. Like, when I want to talk about how good I am at sports, I say I'm from Florida.
That's a good point. Because if you say you're from Boston, we're going to automatically assume you don't have athletes.
Yeah, you're going to assume I'm absolutely horrible at football.
But you played high school football in Florida.
Yeah, so yeah. Now, it was like the lowest level of high school football in Florida.
Yeah, so you were 1A?
Oh, 1A, yeah.
Oh, that's bad. Oh my God! I went to 1A. Oh my God!
Well, sorry, I went to one of the best schools in the state of Florida.
1A.
Yeah, 1A.
That's horrid.
Yeah, well, you said Pinellas
County. 1A. Like 1A. I think they have like you know.
This is starting my feelings.
Like I think.
I'm just gonna go back in time to when DJ said that my take was great, and I'm just gonna remember that as I drive home.
1A is crazy though. 1A is crazy.
My 7-minute drive home with my
like in 1A, like I think they have like because I covered high school sports. You know what I'm saying? I don't know mm-hmm. who knew that, but I covered high school sports, and I think 1A like Florida, they have like one division where like I think like blind kids run track.
They don't do that. They don't do that. They didn't do that. They didn't do that.
We had a team. I'm not saying y'all did that, but I'm saying that if you had a track meet, you might have ran against kids that might not have had the best.
You're just a hater because
I'm not a hater. That's just the division that you were in. That's crazy. 1A. 1A.
Yeah, but in a big county,
you might as well. We're in a big county. 1A. You might as well just. You might as well just. You know.
Whatever. You're just jealous because, like, we back in 2004.
Had 2004?
A Jewish man led the county in rushing. 2004? Jake Stein. Jake Stein, he led the entire Pinellas County in rushing. Went on to punt at Colgate.
Did you play against him, Tebow?
No, sadly, no. They would have killed us. Of course they would have. Yeah. We had a team in our district that moved down 4 levels just so that they could win states.
Yeah!
They did. It was bull. It was such bull.
You guys were terrible.
But anyway, hey.
You were in high school in 04, though? My God.
I was a sophomore in high school. Okay, see, this is just now it's turned into bullying Paul. This is how it feels like.
Oh yeah?
This is how it feels.
He called me a loser earlier.
I called all gamblers losers earlier in the show.
Who you said what?
Well, I thought everyone getting mad at
Christian McCaffrey.
Jordan Mason.
Yes.
I've butchered his name like 7 times today. I thought everyone getting mad about the Christian McCaffrey last minute scratch for Jordan Mason. I thought everyone was being a loser about it. Like, it's your fault.
Why were people upset?
Because their fantasy football team didn't know that they had a guy listed as questionable.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't affect the game at all. Like the 49ers still won.
But yeah, but like in reality, you could have just picked up Jordan Mason.
Some leagues, it's difficult to pick up a guy the day of, as some people found out the hard way. But whatever the case.
Did you have Christian McCaffrey?
No.
Oh. Okay.
I take it from the gambling angle.
Yeah, I was just saying like if
you're...
Like
but, no, but you... They won. You should have been happy. There's a rule. Mm-hmm. Stay with me. If the star player misses in his last minute, the team is usually ordered like it's at a quarterback or a star player. If they're ruled out last minute or they're ruled out earlier in the week, they usually cover. The team that losing that star player usually covers.
Oh.
The Steelers, when they benched, well, not benched, but when they went with Justin Fields, they covered the spread. Obviously, the Niners covered the spread. Remember when Tyreek Hill was last minute out against the Jets? The Dolphins beat them by like 30. Like it's a real thing. I remember there was one game where Devontae Adams didn't play. I think Alan Lazard didn't play, and the Packers went on the road to face the Arizona Cardinals, who were undefeated on Thursday Night Football, and they won. I'm telling you, it's a real thing. I'm surprised more gambling people haven't caught on to it. I'm really surprised. If you just bet every week when the starting quarterback is out or a bunch of you know skill players are out for that
to cover it,
you'll make a lot of money. I'm telling you.
What do you think about the game on Sunday night?
I think that it could be a defensive slugfest, honestly, because I think the Bears have a really good defense, and I think that some of the Matt Eberflus' disguises could give the Texans some issues because they stay in a lot of two high shells, and then you don't know if it's going to be 3, if it's going to be quarter half, if it's just going to be 4. Sometimes they match like they do a really good job of disguising that. So I was watching, I was like, okay. I mean, obviously, Will Levis sucks, but
man, that pick 6.
You know, and him on his knees, hands to helmet, brother, get up! like your team, you just threw a pick 6, gonna put your team down by like 6 points. Get up!
It was a very human moment.
No, get up! But yes, the Bears' defense looks legit. But I will say, DeMeco could undress Caleb this week. Because, like, Caleb looks skittish. Another thing, like, the Mahomes comparisons really got to stop. he's more like a supercharged Russell Wilson than he is Patrick Mahomes. Because he, like, if the pocket gets tight around him, he can't see over the pocket. So like, if it gets tight around him, that's why he has to kind of like spin outwards.
He spins out a lot too.
Yeah, yeah, because he literally can't see. You know, because he is six. He's literally 6'1".
And he can get around it all the time.
He had like three deflected balls this
weekend. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. That you know that's you know, it just depends like what your arm angles is. I don't think height matters that much when it comes to batted balls, but I remember talking to an NFL front office guy, and he was like, "If your quarterback's not athletic, you do kind of." Because you know, if they're not athletic and they're short, that could be a problem. Like they're not athletic, the minimum height is kind of like 6'2". So they can see over the line. Caleb is 6'1". He's a legit 6'1". So there's a lot of times where the pocket got tight. He tried to like spin out and create, and I think because he just couldn't see the passing windows consistently. And he's like a tick slow. He was a tick slow with some of his throws. He kind of was waiting for guys to actually be open. When NFL, you got to throw him open. I still think he's a really good talent. Well, you know, I think he's still a special talent. But I think week two, this is a tough spot on the road. Texans' first home game of the season, I think it's going to be deafening in there. People are going to probably be bleeding out their ears. It's going to be so loud in there. So I think that this could be a game where like he could get undressed by D'Amico.
Just like DJ undressed my high school football career.
Yeah, I did.
R.I.P.
You're playing against blind football players.
No, not blind. They weren't blind.
I did do a quick Google search and found a track and field roster for the school of the deaf and the blind.
We didn't go up against them. I'm not saying you went against that, but I'm saying that's the level where they are.
I mean, you don't know.
So someone texted in that like a six team high school football in Texas could beat my high school, and that's just erroneous. We would beat you 11-6. We would definitely beat you 11-6.
I don't know.
I hate you.
I don't know.
You can leave. He's DJ Bien-Aimé of ESPN.com. He could just go. I tell you to check his workout, but...
I have a nice CJ Stroud story coming out tomorrow. You can plug that.
He does have a CJ Stroud story coming out tomorrow, but he's dead to me. That is DJ Bien-Aimé, ESPN.com. Galana George resumes after this. Stick around.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.